So this Christmas season, this time of year, I had planned out for us to do a series called Carols, right? Where we take certain Christmas carols and we talk about them and about why we sing them and the meaning behind them and some misconceptions in some of it. How many of you know there's some misconceptions that goes on in some things and people hear certain things and regardless of what it actually says, they hear what they want to hear or what their perception of it is. Amen. And again, sometimes if we're bitter, we see things bitterly. If we feel rejected, then that's how we see things through the eyes of rejection. Amen. We see things through different perspectives, and I want to clear up a perspective this morning, and a thought that I think the church actually a lot of the world goes through, and you'll understand when I get into it. But today we're going to look at "O Come All Ye Faithful." It was originally written in Latin. Adeste Fidelis is what it was called, and it was attributed to John Francis Wade in the 18th century. He was an 18th century hymnist, and he wrote this. And then the English translation was by Frederick Oakley, I don't know how to say his last name, in 1841. He's the one that actually translated it into English and how we started singing it. And the beginning of the song is where I want to start at. We're probably going to land there and probably stay there most of the time, but it's, "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." How many of you know a lot of times we get in a thought process where we don't feel faithful at times? We don't feel joyful at times. We don't feel triumphant at times. There's times when we are going through life and that's the furthest thing of what we believe that we are, right? And one of the misconceptions of the enemy is that because you're not all those things, you don't deserve to be with God. Because of those feelings, because of the issues that you have, because of the things that are going on in your life, you don't deserve to be there. And I'm going to be honest with you. We don't deserve to be there. But grace. But what he did for us. But him sending his son to say, "I want you." Right? And so a lot of Christians feel that way. We say, like, I don't feel faith in this issue. And a lot of times we have to pray that prayer that the man said to Jesus when he was talking about his demon-possessed son. He said, "I believe, but help my unbelief. Right now I'm having a tough time believing, God. Right now I don't see an end." And we get stuck there. We get stuck there and we live there for a while. And because of that, we're not joyful, right? Because we don't see God moving and doing things in our situation. We don't feel triumphant. We don't feel like overcomers. But how many of you know the scripture tells us as his children that we are more than overcomers? That we are triumphant. That the joy that we should have in our life doesn't come from our situation. It comes from him and being a part of his kingdom. Being a part of his family. The good news is, man, he calls people that are in jacked up, messed up situations. One of the things I liked about the sermon last week and when John was presenting it was the thought process. Again, I tell you guys, some of you guys don't know. The reason why I tell you to take one thing and remember one thing is because years ago I went to a service and I left out of there ready to attack hell with a water pistol. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, I was ready to get it. And somebody asked me, he's like, "Well, what did you get out of it?" He's like, "I don't know, but I'm super excited. Let's do this," right? And basically the Holy Spirit said to me, "Man, if you didn't take anything away from it, you just wasted an hour of your life." Right? If you didn't take something and you're not using it to help make you who God created you to be. Now, he's the one that makes us that, but that's why he gives us his word. That's why he gives us these points, these things for us to look at, to evaluate, and to put into our lives so that we are who he created us to be. Amen? And what ends up happening is I went there and I was super excited. So one thing, what I want you to do is take one thing every Sunday. If you take one thing every Sunday and you work on that one thing, at the end of the year, you've done 52 things that you've worked on to be who God's created you to be, right? So that one thing. Last week, the one thing that I saw in that when he started talking in the first part of Matthew and going through the genealogy and the ladies that were in there, and all of the ladies had a promiscuous background, and it was as if God is saying, it doesn't matter how messed up your life is, I can still use you to glorify the kingdom. I can still use you to glorify the kingdom. Now, if we all sat here and we put up our hands and said, okay, this is my background, a lot of us would look and say, I don't believe that was you years ago, right? How many of you that just now know me would believe that where Charles is sitting right now, I used to stumble in drunk and sit back there 20-something years ago? That was my life. That's who I was. But the transformation is amazing of what God can do and how he can change your life, right? That's not to glorify me, it's to glorify him. He's the one that's done it. And this is what ends up happening. When I'm sitting in that seat back there, the eyes of people, the thought process that goes in my mind of what, how many of you know, okay, let me tell you this. How many of you know, a lot of times you think people are thinking a whole lot about you and it ain't got nothing to do with you in their mind, right? 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 It's the perception that we have. Like they're thinking about me. They're talking about me. Like I've got something on my shirt or something, right? That's what we do. And if the enemy can use that to keep us away from the house of God, from the people of God, from what he's called us to be and do, he'll do it. And he'll pick those things that you see as things that would keep you from God and from his presence. He'll use those to keep you from there. When God says, you're the one that I want. You're the one that I want. I don't feel like that. So who does Jesus call, man? First of all, in the scripture, we find that he calls the weary and the burdened. Those that are tired, that are going through struggles, that are trying to find a way to be who God created them to be, to get out of who they are. Because a lot of times we get to those places and we don't know that we're there. We don't know that we're going there. Amen? Like, he talked about this yesterday at men's breakfast, right? The enemy doesn't come with pitchforks and horns and his red little suit and be like, ha, I'm here to take over your life. That's not how he comes. Ever. Yeah, even in the midst of the craziest times, he never unmasks himself. Scripture says he comes as an angel of light, right? He comes, and that's why Paul in the scripture, and we talked about this at the Bible study the other night, that's why Paul says, if me or an angel come to you preaching any other gospel, don't listen to him. Let him be accursed. Why? Because that's not coming from God. It's the enemy disguised, right? Wolf in sheep's clothing, if that's how you want to say it. That's how we put it, right? One of the things that we need to understand is that God called us, each and every one of us. He's chosen us. The scripture says that he wants none to perish, right? He wants that none would go away from him. Doesn't mean that none will. One of the other things I liked that was said last week was if you want him here, you get him there. If you don't want him here, you don't get him there. That's how it works, according to scripture. He calls those that are weary and burdened. He says in Matthew 11:28, you say, well, how do you know that? Because he says it. You know, there's some stuff that he just outright says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We will find rest in him. You have trouble resting? Turn to him. Turn off everything else that's going on in your mind and in the world. Turn to him and allow him to give you rest. You know what? Sometimes we preach things from up here and we're the ones that need to hear it the most. This is one of the ones that I need to hear. I haven't been having rest lately. Charles asked me, or who was it? Charles asked me, he's like, hey, have you been sleeping? Because I'm like, I haven't been sleeping lately. He's like, I'm like, no, I haven't. He's like, you need rest. I do. Do you know how I get it? By coming to him. Maybe I need to listen to myself sometimes. Maybe you need to listen too. There's some of you that aren't finding rest, that are burdened, that are weighed down. And the only place that we're going to find it is by coming to him, according to his scripture. So who does Jesus look for? Who does God seek out after? Those that are weary and burdened. The next thing that we see, we all fit in this category, is that he calls the sinners. He calls those people that got issues. He calls people that are not. If you look, he didn't pull one of his disciples from the synagogue. He didn't. He didn't pull one of his disciples from the synagogue. He pulled them from out in the world. One of the things, I think it was Wednesday at Bible study, we were talking about this, and I said, you know, the people who run as hard as they can away from God are usually the ones when they find him that's running harder than anybody else towards him. Just to be honest. A lot of times. That's the way it is. And I'm not taking away from anybody else's run or walk, man. That's between you and God. But we should all be going at him as hard as we can, according to what Scripture says, even more as the day draws near. We look around the world. I get this. We can always say it's closer than it's ever been before, right? But it is. It is. I mean, I can also tell you I'm older right now than I've ever been before, even 5 minutes ago, right? I mean, it's a true statement. We can say that. But honestly, when we look around and we look at the world, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. A lot of work that needs to be done. And we're the ones that need to do it. And who better to show people who are in the world what God can do than people who were in the world? Who better to show a person that's bound up by the things of this world? Who better to show that God can free you than someone that's been freed from it? That's one of the things I love. When Hand in Hand was here the other day and she was talking about it, and she said, you know what? Years ago, I don't remember how many years ago she said, but years ago I was addicted to drugs and had issues and problems. And now I'm running Hand in Hand, the ladies' ministry, or the Ruth House is the ladies' ministry for people, women that are going through that. Powerhouse, the men's ministry for people that are going through that. And the workers that are there are people who had been there before, but God had transformed their lives and changed their lives. One of the things that we get into our mind is that I'm so messed up that I can't come to him. He don't want me. If I had a quarter or even a penny for every time somebody said, I can't come to church, the roof will fall down on my head. Look, I get it's an old building, but the roof ain't coming down. And he wants you to come in this place. He wants you to have freedom. He's calling to those who have issues and don't have it all together. Every person he used in the scripture didn't have it all together. Now, Job was the one who had it the most together, according to what he said. Look at my servant Job. Look how good he is. But I'm sure Job still has some issues. Why? Because we all have the sin nature. We all had it. We're supposed to be free from it. Amen? Matthew 9:12-13, and they were talking and saying, how in the world can Jesus sit with all these sinners? How can he sit and eat dinner with those people? That's a religious spirit right there, y'all. That's a religious spirit that doesn't need to be a part of anything, that doesn't need to be a part of the church. Matthew 9:12-13. But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. I came to call people that understand they need a Savior, that understand that I can take care of this, that I paid for this, right? Today, he's taking care of it. He's calling to us to come and adore him, right? To come and to see what he has, to be a part of what he's got going on. And it's amazing to me that he could use something like me to be able to reach people. Do you know what? Matter of fact, I told my dad was like, "Hey, I think this is what's going on. I think this is what I'm gonna just be real." When he planted this church 20 something years ago, when I was off stupid in the world, he said, "I believe that God is preparing this place for you." Like, you're dumb, old man. That's so dumb. You like, you have a fever? Are you sick or something? Because I ain't. No. Do you know what? And even when he retired and Pastor John came here, and I was still like, that's not the place for me. You know, one of the reasons when April and I came here, my mother and father knew nothing about me coming here until we decided that we were going to come here. We talked with the board and we got together and we decided. I didn't even call my mom and dad to pray about it, whether we were coming or not, because I didn't want them to sway my decision at all. I wanted it to be God and not my dad saying, oh yeah, here's my son. He gets this place, right? I wanted it to be God doing what he's doing. And he opened the doors. He made it possible. He made it available. But how in the world could he take somebody as messed up as me and change me to be that? That's what the world asks over and over and over. That's why it's so important that we share our testimony. That we share what God has done with us. With everybody we come in contact with. Everyone. Why? Because the world is looking at, I'm so messed up, I don't belong. And you know what? there's a religious spirit in some of the places that are saying, you're messed up, you don't belong. And that's furthest from the truth. That's the furthest from the truth. You know, I want drug addicts and alcoholics and prostitutes to come here. I don't want them to do their business and stuff while they're here. But I want them to come so that they can hear the word of God and be changed. Because that's what happens. That's what happens when we come to him. There is a change that happens if we come to him. I mean, you know, we can say a prayer. We can be in the middle of a problem and an issue and say all kind of stuff and not change a thing. How many of you know that's not repentance? That's not repentance. That's me trying to manipulate the situation so I get out of my problems that I'm in and keep doing what I'm doing. That's not Christianity. That's not true Christianity. The world, and actually some of the churches, is in that position where you can come just as you are. You can stay the way you are. He loves you anyway. He does, but he's not going to leave you there. He's going to change. There's going to be a change. There has to be a change. Oh, come all you sinners, weak and weary. He doesn't leave you there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I fix a few things and leave them the same. Wait, that's not what it says. It says the old is passed away. Everything is made new. All is made new. Let me ask you this. I want you to evaluate yourself 100%. I want you to look at yourself right now, inside, 100%, and ask yourself, is there a change? Or am I the same? Am I putting on different clothes on the outside to make people think that I'm holy, that I'm righteous, that I'm following him, but I'm really being myself inside, putting up a window dressing, really nice window dressing, right? Because there's a lot of people that are in that position. Amen? Y'all say, this is a hard message about a Christmas carol. But it's a true statement. Look, there's a lot of people that haven't changed anything in here and just look really good on the outside. Right? We make fun of the family that's pulling in while the parents are swatting the kids in the back seat, and then they pull in the parking lot. They're like, everybody sit up. We're in church. We got to be right. Right? There's a lot of that goes on. Right? So Wild Oats Monday through Saturday and then pray for crop failure on Sunday. It don't work that way, right? We need to understand that there will be a change. There has to be a change, or there's not been true repentance. There's not been true repentance. We're trying to manipulate the system, and that doesn't work with God. Amen? One of the things that we see when we come to him, when we finally understand that we can come to him, when we finally understand that other people should come to them. Do you know what we need to, this is a squirrel. You know what we need to do? We need to not be the older brother in the prodigal son story. In my thought process, that's the whole purpose for the story. That's the whole purpose for the story. He talks about the son coming back. He was part of the family, now he's not. For those of you who don't believe that backsliding is a possible thing, look at the prodigal son. He was a part of the family, he left the family. I don't want to be a part of the family. Now I just want to be a servant in the house. And God says, no, you're my child. You'll always be my child. Come in to the family, right? But then you got the older brother that's mad. Like, look, I've been here this whole time. You ain't throwing me a party once. You know what a lot of the church world is? I've been a part of this the whole time. You ain't throw me a party once. We need to not be the older brother in the situation. We need to welcome people in and say, I remember when I was there at one time. Do you know what? I was at a store the other day, and they had a little thing, and I can't remember where it was at. It said, be nice, or not, it didn't say be nice. It said, I'm new, I'm just learning. You know, kind of please bear with me, right? And when I get into a place and there's somebody at a register and they don't understand what buttons to push and they're trying to figure something out, you know, and they're calling over somebody else and people are getting mad because I'm like, look, I was in that position one time before. I understand where you're at, man. Take your time. Do what you need to do. You know, figure it out. Learn how to do what you're doing. Because how many of you know, if we would do that with the people who are coming to God and saying, hey, I remember I was in your exact spot one time, and this is what has happened in my life. Let me help you. Right? Do you know how quickly the church would grow? Let me say this. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying. I'm just going to be real. We have a whole generation in the church world that are still babies 20 years in. There are many people who have said a prayer or maybe given their life and changed, but are not growing and are stagnant because there's no discipleship that is taking place. Do you know what our goal for this year is going to be, this next coming year, is to get people that are sitting there. Okay. There was a thing that was sent to me a while back, and it was about, it had two different ships. So I was in the Navy, right? I was on the USS Arleigh Burke, DDG 51, and that is a guided missile destroyer, right? It's a boat for war, right? And everybody on that boat has a job. If you don't have a job, if you don't have something to do, you're not on a boat, right? So in order to be where you're at, and if you're not doing your job, then you're kicked off the boat, basically. They take you away from it. I also went, when April and I first got married, man, one of my churches that was at, they sent us on a for our anniversary 1 year, they sent us on a cruise, right? On a carnival cruise. We went on carnival, we went to Mexico and all this. It was amazing. But you know what? Everybody on that ship was there to have a good time and to eat and to enjoy and to take care of themselves, right? Now, I want to show you a parallel in the church that's today. The church today is more of a carnival cruise than it is a battleship. The church today is more about what can I get, what can I receive from coming to this place, and if I don't receive enough from coming to this place, then I'm going to find someplace else that I can receive from. Instead of everyone sitting in the seat saying, what can I do? What is my part? What is my mission here? We're going to start out the first of the year with a message series called Made for Mission. And it's not just about missions. It's not about overseas. It's about us stepping out of the seats and being who God created us to be and being used in a way by Him. And not just coming to church because it's, what am I getting from it? Right? Now, let me tell you something. Whenever you do anything from God, for God, He blesses you for it. So you will receive because you're giving. That's a principle, right? That's a principle. Give and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it fall into your lap? That's not just talking about money. We use it for money. We use it for offering. That's not, it's talking, at that point, it's talking about judgment and how we give it to other people. That's what that scripture is talking about. But the principle still works, right? Reaping you sow, give and it will be given back to you. So when we give, it will come back to us. But see, God has saved us not just so that we can be a part of the family and that's it. It's so that we can help grow the family, right? Scripture, he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, right? Do you know for every physical principle, there's a spiritual principle that mirrors it? If we're supposed to multiply physically, we're all supposed to multiply spiritually. We're all supposed to share what God has given to us and teach and show and encourage people to grow. That's our purpose. That's why He don't just take us out. All right, you came into my family now. Come to heaven, right? No, we're still here because we have a mission. We have something that we're supposed to do. What are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing for the kingdom? That's one of the things that Jesus helps us to do. He helps us to become more faithful. When we come to Him, when we finally say, yes, I need you, what does He do? He helps us to be more faithful. Hebrews 12:2. We spent a lot of time there with the last series of heroes with the verse before this. Says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. So that means He doesn't just start it and leave it where it's at. He perfects it. How many of you know He got a lot more perfecting on some of us than He does others? Amen? Don't elbow your husband and wife. Don't do it. Y'all know. But He's going to finish what He started. The perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know what the joy that was set before Him was? You and me. Us. Ha. I know why He picked some of y'all, but I don't have no clue why He picked me. Right?
Like, why? Why?
He did it so that we could be a part of his family. So that the broken could be made new. So, check this out. I told y'all some of this. When I had some heart issues a while back, went to the doctor and went through the whole thing, and my cardiologist, and he's a really good guy. I like him. We did a heart cath, and we had prayer Tuesday night. That's back when we were doing prayers on the second Tuesday of every month, and we had prayer that night before, and a guy shows up, never been here before, right? Goes to church down the road, he said. I've never seen him, but he goes to church down the road. He came, he wanted to pray for Pastor Sean that's down there, and he was going through some issues, and he said, heard we were out of prayer, so he came here, and all I could think about that night was, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit in me. Like, that was all I could do. And the guy, my wife said this the other day, the guy was here and he said something, and he said something about my heart being pristine, right? So we go into the cardiologist, and I do all my stuff, and Dr. Salami comes in and he says, your heart and your arteries are pristine, right? And I had to look and see what that was. Because, how many know, pristine means good, right? How many of you know what pristine means? But do you know the definition of it? It means clean, as if it were made new, right? That's God saying, look what I've done for you, right? He wants to repair us. He wants to make us new, not just make us better. That's not what he came for. He despised the shame. He said, I want you. So if you're having an issue or a problem, understand he came for you. He wants to make us faithful. So how do we become more faithful? How do we do it? Scripture tells us, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. Hearing through the words of Christ. How do we become more faithful? By getting in this right here. By understanding what this says. By understanding that this is how we do it. There's principles in here, y'all. There's things in here that are going to take care of every situation that we have need of. I saw a thing the other day, a meme. I like memes, y'all. Me and Rob sent them back and forth. But I saw one the other day that said, don't tell me that God's not speaking to you if your Bible's closed. God's not speak to me, God. Open your word and read. It's alive. The word is alive. Right? It changes. I can read one scripture today that I read 20 years ago, and it means something totally different to me. Why? Because it speaks to me where I'm at right now. Right? And helps me to have what I need. Get in your word. Well, I already read it. Okay. All right. Read it again. That's all I can say. Read it daily. Read it constantly. Why? Because in here, he's given us all the answers. He's already given us everything that we need. We need to look, and we'll find it. And that's how we gain faith. I gained faith to know that I can be healed because I know the woman with the issue of blood fought through the crowd. He said, as your faith is, so be it. I know that I can have healing because the guy rips the roof off to let their friend down. As your faith is, so be it. I know that healing and things come through obedience. Did I say that out loud? It comes through obedience, all in his word. He said to the man at the pool that I talked about earlier, take up your bed and go. He'd be like, well, I can't, you don't understand. No, he didn't say it at that point. When Jesus said, hey, do you want to be healed? He's like, I ain't got nobody to carry me. He said, pick up your bed and walk. He's like, okay. And what did he do? He picked up his bed. He walked. When blind Bartimaeus called out to him, hey, come here. Like, all right. Throw my coat down. I don't need it no more, right? As your faith is, so be it. Faith comes because I've seen it in practice in other people's lives. That's why it's so important that you share your testimony. It's so important that you say, this is what God has done for me. Why? Because there might be somebody two seats over that is battling with it and not telling a single person because they don't want people to look at them funny. They don't want people to look at them bad. Look, and if you look at them bad, shame on you. If I look at them bad, shame on me. That's not what it's about. We're supposed to build up and encourage and help people through those times. Amen? God tells us in the Old Testament, what does his word say? When you pass through the waters, Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. So when I go through tough times, he's going to be with me. When I go through struggles, he's going to be there. When I got things that I think are overwhelming and going to overtake me, he's going to be there. And he's not going to allow it to happen. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. He's like, look what I'll give up for you, my son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'll put him on the cross for you. So in saying that, what does he do for us? He makes us more faithful. The next thing, he helps us to become more joyful. How does he do that? By putting his Holy Spirit inside of us. What the Word of God says. By putting his Holy Spirit inside of us. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. It goes on. It goes on and on and on. Peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All these things come to us, right? Because he's inside of us. Because he lives in us. But do you know what? One of the things you got to have in order to do that. I'm just going to be real. Y'all ready? In order to have the fruit grow, you got to plant the seeds. That means you got to walk by the Spirit, as Paul says. You got to listen when he tells you to do something. Do you know, like four times this last week, God's told me to do something, I think. Or my brain just is really working overtime this time. But he said, I want you to do some stuff. I want you to do this. And I didn't get up and do it. Do you know what? I regretted it later. What? God's punishing you because you didn't listen. No. Let me tell you that's not how it works. Right? Not yet. You're not receiving punishment yet. Right? It's what Scripture says. We live under grace. Judgment deferred. Right? Do you know what it is? It's the consequences of me not doing what he said for me to do. Right? And you say, well, that's judgment. Same thing. No, it's not. You reap what you sow. If I would have done those things, I would have reaped the benefit because I didn't. I didn't reap the benefit. Do you know if you want joy in your life, you got to look for it because it's there. Because in every situation, his joy is there. But if you can't find it, it's because you ain't looking at it. It's because you're looking at the situation, because you're looking at the problems that are coming or that might come from it. The problems that might come from it. How many of you know so many times we're worried about the consequences of what's going to happen and it ain't going to happen, but we're going to worry about it for the week and it's going to steal our joy for that whole week. Why? Because this is going to happen. And then we get there and it don't happen. We're like, huh, wonder why that didn't happen. But we still don't look back and be like, man, I just wasted my whole week being upset about something that I didn't need to be upset about. And we don't learn. And then the next time something comes up, we're like, and then we lose our joy again. How many of you know that's not what it's supposed to be? We're supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's what the Scripture says. Means doesn't mean every situation is going to be good, but it means in the middle of the situation, I can still be okay through it. I can still have peace through it. That's what he does for us. When Jesus was coming, the angel told him, Luke 2:10-11, he says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. All people. That goes back to before Christ perished. That goes back to before he rose again on the cross, right? And it's still saying that everybody's going to have access to this. I'm so thankful for that because I'm not Jewish. I don't think y'all are either. Most of y'all. Some of y'all might be. But do you know what? He allows us to come and be a part of the family also. It's for everyone. It's for all people. Even the ones that are dead in sin. That's the ones that he came for. So that he can give us new life. New life. It will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's come to give us joy. He's come to allow us to understand that in every situation, we can have joy in him. He said, the world didn't give it to you. This joy that I have, he didn't give it to you and they can't take it away. You should always have it. If we don't have it, it's because we're not looking for it. We're looking for other stuff. We need to change our perspective. We need to refocus our lives and what we're looking at in the middle of our situation. Don't look at the waves, look at him. Don't look at the mountains, look at him. Don't look at the giant, look to him. Because this is the last thing that he helps us to do that we're going to talk about today. It's an exhaustive list, y'all, of what he does for us and what he wants for us. But I just gave you three today. That's enough for us to chew on, just three of them this week, okay? The last one is Jesus helps us become more triumphant. Why? Because we see that we're not fighting. And this is another thing. Somebody else said it. I wish I could take credit for all this stuff that people are saying. Somebody else said it, and I got it, and it's good. And I don't remember who said it. So it was either Aaron or John 1. It says, we need to stop fighting for victory and fight from a place of victory. There's a big difference. We're trying to come for victory. We're trying to fight for victory. When Jesus said, it is, y'all didn't do that right. It is finished. It's done. It's taken care of. I've done everything that needs to be done for you. Here it is. Walk in it. Here it is. Isaiah 6 or 9, 6 and 7 says, for unto us is born a child, or for unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth, forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So, he's our wonderful counselor. So that means in the midst of our problems, when we're burdened and heavy laden, right? He's there for us. We turn to him and he gives us peace. He's the mighty God, the one who could do anything. The everlasting Father means he's always there for us. Always there for us. So look, y'all know my mind works in crazy ways. But I was laying in bed this morning, and y'all, my dog is one of my kids. I don't know about y'all, but it's one of my kids. And I was laying here half asleep, and she woke up, and she decided that it was time for her to come and get right in my face. She didn't have no qualms about it. She just knew that this is where she needed to be, right? Do you know that's how we should be with our Father in heaven? We can come to him anytime. All the time, and just get right in his face like we know what we're doing, like we're supposed to be there. Hello, it's me. Love on me now. Hey, it's me. This is what I got. Do you know that's how we're supposed to be with our Father in heaven? We're supposed to just come to him no matter what, at any time, humbly. Yeah, yeah. We're supposed to just come to him. Why? Because he's our everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And this is what it says. The peace won't end. The peace won't end. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. And this is what I like. When does it happen? This is Isaiah speaking. So it's a long time ago, right? I don't know how many years ago. More than 2,000. I know that for a fact, right? This is Isaiah speaking, and he says, justice, and he will uphold it, establish it, and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth. That means you and I live in this time, this ability to have peace, this ability to have the counselor, this ability to have our everlasting Father. He's given it to us. We can walk in it. We need to realize who fights for us, right? We need to realize that the battle's not ours, it's the Lord's. And that when we turn to him, when we give it to him, he takes care of it far better than we ever could. But I'm going to tell you this too. Y'all ready? If you decide you want to fight it on your own, he'll let you get off the porch, big dog. He will. He's not going to make you wait on him. I think that's a lot of times why he doesn't tell us how to get out of situations or what situation we're in or what's happening or what we're supposed to do with our future. Why? Because we're going to jack it up trying to get there. We're going to be like Abraham having Ishmael. because I'm going to fix it. This is what God said. I'm going to make it happen. No, no, no. Don't make it happen. Sit. Be obedient to him. Wait on him. Because in the appropriate time, the scripture says, he will do these things. At the right time, he'll do these things. If it's, I love that one song. I don't even remember what song it is. It's like, if it ain't good, it ain't over yet. Story isn't good. We sang it this morning, didn't we? If it's not a good story yet, he's not finished. Just hang tight. Look at him and allow him to do things for you, right? Allow him to fight those battles. He wants to make us victorious. That's why he sent his son. We're a part of the family. Even as the baby in the manger, man, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was still the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. And nothing came into existence when he wasn't there. Nothing. He was there in the beginning. He'll be there in the end. He's the chosen one to save us from sin. Y'all come on back up. He's the author and protector of our faith. Again, the perfecter. He's not finished with us yet. He's the light of the world. The Savior, and I love this one, the lifter of our head. The lifter of our head. You know what? We don't have to have our head bowed in shame because of who we are and what we've done. He lifts our head and says, I love you. It's taken care of. He was born the King of Angels. He's Christ the Lord. Amen? This morning, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to stop. Some of you this morning are still hanging on to the old you. Some of you are wondering why things haven't changed. It's because you haven't let them make you new. You may have said a prayer. You may have done all these things. But you're still trying to fight the battle yourself. Not understanding that he's the one that's going to do it. You got some issues, some things you need to change in your life. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You say, look, you're talking to me right now. I'm the one you're talking to. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, help us. I want you to say this with me. Everybody in the house, say, God, I give you my life. You sent your son to die for me so that I could be made new. Make me new. Help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Some of us are worried because we don't feel very faithful. We don't feel righteous. We don't feel holy. Some of us, we don't have joy. Some of us don't feel victorious at this moment. This is what God is saying this morning. I've chosen you. You are mine. Let me fight your battle. Trust in me. Have faith. Have faith. You know what? Some of us need to share our testimony, what God has done to us, to people. Some of us need to speak out what he's done. Look, you don't have to have a pulpit. You don't have to have a microphone to do this. You could do this anywhere you want. And I want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think this thought. For a couple weeks in a row, I encouraged you one day a week to find one person and blame it on me. My pastor said to share with someone what God has done in my life. Can I share it with you? The change that he's made in my life, can I share it with you? And even if they say no, you've already told them that he's made a change in you. You've already told them, right? You already started. And if they say yes, just say, this is who I was. This is who he made me. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. That's one of the things of the enemy. He wants you to be embarrassed so you won't share your testimony so other people can't have freedom from it. You can't help encourage other people. You know what? I'll be blunt with you. I'm not going to glorify the sin that I was in, but I'll be blunt and say, this is who I was. That's what I did with my wife on our first date. Right? I told her everything, laid it out. If you can't get past it, then you can't go any further. I don't need to waste your time or mine. Right? We need to be honest, but we also need to give the glory to God for what he has done and the change that he has made, because there's people in your life that need to know what you've been through so he can change their life in the same way. They can have faith because they hear of what God can do. They hear of what God wants to do. And they put aside the thought process that I can't share who I am or who I was because people are going to not like me or care about me or I have to be embarrassed of it. Scripture says he's the lifter of our heads. Shame. Shame came from the enemy. You guys know that, right? It came in the garden. Shame. Who told you you were naked? That's what he said. Who told you these things? Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Amen? You guys need to share love, grace, and mercy, what he's done in your life. We're going to sing a song, and then Aaron's going to pray and let us get out of here in a minute. Share. Look, if you don't listen to anything else, man, share what God has done for you, even if it's a small thing. Because you know what? The small thing in your life may be the mountain in somebody else's life, right? They may be just coming to Christ and not able to get over this small thing and think that it keeps them from God. Amen? I love you guys. Stand up. We're going to sing.